message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so let's go to Philippians 1. Thank you. Thank you, media. Can we pray again? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Say this after me. Say, Father, thank you. Because your word educates me, instructs me, corrects me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now let's read together. Philippians 1, 25. It said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Can we read it again? 3 to go. Confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And we all know that the word furtherance is from the Greek word prokope, which means progress. It means advancement. It's what we term spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Amen. So Apostle Paul here was saying, his confidence of this, that he shall abide and continue with them all for their furtherance. So he was interested in their spiritual growth. Amen. Hallelujah. So he was so concerned about their spiritual growth. Amen. So in first service, we talked about investments. Okay, so if you're not around for first service, please get the tape. First service people, hope you were blessed. Alright, so please you get the tape, alright, for first service. For the second service, we'll be talking about value. We spoke about investments for first service. Second service, we're talking about value. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, for Apostle Paul to be so concerned about their spiritual growth, it means he had a curriculum in mind. And his curriculum is just like the one in church. You know, we do a cyclic curriculum in this church. Like this month of January, we are considering Bible themes on money for Sunday service. And Bible study, we are doing orthodoxy. Amen. Hallelujah. So the same mind Apostle Paul was having, the same we are having as a church, because we are so concerned about your spiritual growth. We are concerned about your progress. We are concerned about your advancement. Amen. Amen. So in talking of you, because you'll be thinking in your heart, okay, so why are we talking about money in church? When we are talking about money in church, we are not talking about some business Harvard plan. We are not talking about how to start doing business in church. No, no, no. We're talking about money in church. We're talking about your relationship with money in church. Not church alone, outside the church. How is your relationship with money? How healthy is the relationship? Amen. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6:24, we saw that Jesus said this, the master himself, this is what he said. He said, no man can serve two masters. Can we have it? Matthew 6:24. Okay, can we read together? 3 to go. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. So here, Jesus was saying, the only thing that can compete with God, alright, in your heart is money. The only thing that has the ability to compete with God in your heart is money. God formed you, right? He created you, right? So the only thing that can compete with God in your heart, Jesus said, it's money. Amen. So it means it's a very big thing to talk about. It's a big deal. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, money has so much power to compete with the space of God. That space that God ought to occupy alone. Money has such power to compete with. Hallelujah. So your attitude, okay, to money discerns the state of your heart. You know, some persons, once they have a lot of money in their bank account, they don't need pastors, they don't need anybody. My life is just me. I'm just me. You get it. It's just me. Me, 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 me. They talk to people rudely. They are like, I'm just there. It's just me. Like, people should just kiss their feet and everything, because money is involved. And when there's an absence of the money, proud something just drops. And that's when they feel like they want God the more. okay, this is the time I want God the more. This is when I really want God the more. But no, the absence of money, all right, and the abundance of it should not dictate your devotion or your Christian walk. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we are, for second service, we are talking about value system as one of the themes on money. First of all, I want you to know that money is the ultimate thing. It's not the ultimate thing, rather. Sorry, money is not the ultimate thing. Money is not the ultimate thing. You must come to a total conviction that there are things that are way more valuable than money. I want to ask a simple question. Can you buy eternal life? No, some of us can buy eternal life. So let's talk. Can we buy eternal life? Okay, can we buy salvation? Okay, can we buy the Holy Spirit? Okay, can we buy fellowship with the Father? Can we buy righteousness? Can we buy justification? Are you sure? Can you buy forgiveness of sin? So it means money is not the ultimate thing. There are other things that are more valuable, that are way more valuable than money. Hallelujah. So money is not the ultimate thing. Tell your neighbor, money is not the ultimate thing. Hallelujah. So now, on discussing this value system, all right, there are so many wrong Bible interpretations that people used to talk about. Things like money answered everything. Have you heard it before? Money answered everything. So, but is it true that money answered everything? It's a question. Okay, if you are yes, don't worry, it's church. I won't look at you. If you are yes, money answered everything. Just don't worry. This church. Money answered everything. The guys at the back are just thinking, oh, money answered everything. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 10:18. We will see it if money really answered all things or not. Ecclesiastes 10:18. Alright. Go to 19. Okay, so let's go back to 18. Let's start from 18. Alright, let's come read together. It said, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Please, if that's your Bible, underline the word all. If it's not your Bible, if you're using a smartphone, please don't too. Alright? Have you underlined the word all? Okay, but does money answer it all things? To some extent. Okay. Now we're going to when the Bible talks about all, it's not all in that sense. Let me show you something in Philippians. Please open to Philippians 4:13. We'll come back to Ecclesiastes. Philippians 4:13. Let me show you guys something there. Philippians 4:13. Now let's read together. I can do all. Say all. I can do all. All things through Christ who strengthened me. Okay. All. Like what? It means I can marry anybody's husband. I can carry anybody's bag. Is that it? Now, when it comes to this word all, there's contextual meaning to it. So for you to understand this all, let's go to the previous verse. Go to verse 12. Of Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 12. Thank you. I know, but... okay, let's go to 11. So let's start from there. 11. Okay, so this is a good place to start. So let's read together. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Next verse. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. 13. I can do all things. Now, are you seeing the context? Apostle Paul was talking about him. All right, he can stay in plenty. He can stay in little. That's the all. So let's go back to Ecclesiastes so that we'll explain it better. Ecclesiastes. So the all is not, I can marry this person, I can do this, I can wear this skirt, I can do that. That's not the all. The all is contextually. Amen. So this all now, okay, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Okay, next verse. No? Go back. 18, sir. Media, speed on your hands. 18. Ecclesiastes 10:18. Okay, go to 17. So we'll start from there. Okay, so. Okay, let's go back to 18. I think that's where the main business starts from. Okay, so by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through, can we read together? And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Go to the next verse, 19 now. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry. But money answereth all things. So now, he's talking about a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry. So money answereth these things. Laughter, merrymaking. Do you get it? So it's not money answereth all things. Do you get it? Hallelujah. So a feast is made for laughter and wine makereth merry. But money answereth those things. That is, those things are by money. Amen. Amen. So please, money does not answer everything. If money answered everything, that means you can buy salvation. It means you can actually pay that Jesus should die for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So money answereth not all things. Tell your neighbor, those guys behind, money answereth not all things. Alright, thank you. Hallelujah. So we see in Ecclesiastes he's saying, when he said a feast is made for laughter and wine makereth merry, but money answereth all things. He was not talking good of money here. He was not talking good of money. Feasting, partying and all. Is it not money? So money answered those things. Like those things are done with money. Is not money answered all things? Like you say it. Amen. Hallelujah. So here he was talking about lavishing lifestyle and went on to say money answered to those things. Meaning all these things, alright, they are cost by money. Praise the Lord. Now, on a normal sense, as I asked before, does money answer everything? So I'll ask it again. Does money answer everything? Amen. So there are things that are way more higher. If you keep it in a scale, very, very higher than money. Money cannot buy. Money cannot buy it. Your safe soul, money cannot buy it. That's what the Bible says. Silver and gold put together, alright, cannot be able to buy a man that is saved. He said, we are born not with corruptible materials such as silver and gold. So silver and gold is actually corruptible. Hallelujah. He said, but you were born with the everlasting word of God, the word of God that endureth forever. That was what gave birth to you. So it means there's an end to money. So it means there's an end to silver and gold. There's an end to money. Answered those things. There's an end to it. It's only God's life in you that is forever. Wow. Amen. You see in Mark chapter 8, can we go to Mark chapter 8? Mark chapter 8. Okay, verse 36. Okay, can we read? He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 37. Or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? What? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing put together that can buy a man that is saved. So it means there's no need to start envying someone that has money when you even know that that person needs help. You are the person that needs to help that person because the person is not saved. It's your help the person needs, not you needing the person's help of jealousy, you are envying the person and all that. See, if you have all the money in this world, alright, and your soul is not saved, if you die, you are going to hell. Oh, hellfire sweets, I'm not with you. Amen. Yes, because see, let me shock you guys. See, if you are into humanitarian services, all right, you organize, maybe you go, you do girls, is it, what do they call it? Is it one girl, one pad show? You know, it's where they share sanitary pads for ladies in secondary schools and you meet the need of people, beggars and everything. That's beautiful. That's humanitarian service, but that's not evangelism. Because humanitarian service, you are not giving something. You are not giving something to get their soul. You are not giving them God's word. In humanitarian service, you are giving them, you are pleasing their emotion. You are not touching their spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So when it comes to humanitarian service, that's not evangelism. So you can have so much money. Okay, let me ask a question. Do we have people that are unbelievers and they have NGOs where they supply people's needs? Like the poor, those guys that don't really have, they give them bags of rice and they are not saved. I mean, those guys that have those NGOs, they are not saved. They are not born again. Do we have them? Yes, we have them. But man, if those guys die without receiving the gift of salvation, they will go to hell. Because salvation is not by works. Getting saved is not by works. Do you get it? It's not by works. You don't get saved by your good doings. If it was by your good doings, then Jesus wouldn't have come at the first place. Hallelujah. So you get saved by receiving. You don't get saved by doing. The only doing you do is believing the gospel. That's the only doing that you do. If there's any language like that, doing that you do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So salvation is believing. You believe, you heard the gospel, you believe. So now what will make you now as a believer, alright, that receives, because you have received eternal life, you know the gospel. The difference between you and other persons doing humanitarian service is like your humanitarian service, you are having the gospel to give to them. You are giving them those things. But after those things, guys, they are not going that way. They will stay and hear God's word. So that's the difference between you and someone doing humanitarian service. Amen. You know, sometimes I think humanitarian service is preaching gospel. Let me show you something. Please open to Romans 1:16. Let me show you guys something here. Romans 1:16. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, media. Okay, let's read together. It said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." No, wait. Let's read it again. Come. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It did not say, "I'm not ashamed of humanitarian service. I'm not ashamed of giving. I'm not ashamed of confessing my sin. I'm not ashamed." You see, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." So only the gospel saves. So it's not humanitarian service. I want you guys to know this. It's not humanitarian service. Alright? It's good to be good. In fact, being good is, you are telling people, "God is good to me. God have extended his goodness to you," so you extend it to people. But guy, that's not, I don't want to go ahead of myself. That's not purpose. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the whole world put together cannot buy you. Say it, the whole world put together, cannot buy me, because I am saved. Amen. So this is a big call of reappraising your priority in relating to money. Amen. So the Bible way to know how to deal with money is to have eternity in heart. Yes, the Bible way to deal with money, alright, is to have eternity in heart. Forget how much money you have. Alright? If you don't relate with money from an eternal perspective, your money is useless before God. Forget how much you have. So you see why we say, if you like the humanitarian service and you're not saved, if you die, you're going to hell. Because it doesn't count before God. Amen. So how can you relate with money from an internal perspective? Say purpose. Purpose. It means you can never do justice to money if you haven't discovered your purpose on earth. Let me ask a question. What is purpose? All right, let me use an example. What are phones made for? For making calls. The general use of phone is to what? To communicate, right? So, will I be right if I say, but do we use phones for other things? Those things, they are secondary, right? Like chatting, SMSing, like sending SMS and all. Okay. So, can this phone tell itself the reason why it's made? Because, okay, I made this phone. I'm the one to tell this phone how it should be used. The phone cannot tell himself how it should be used. So it means God have created you. You are not the one to tell yourself how you should live. Someone that bought you, died for you, all right, he bought you with his life. He should be the one to tell you how you should live. So the manufacturer should tell the phone how to be used, how it's to be used. Amen. Hallelujah. So purpose is the reason why a thing exists. It defines reason. It answers the question of why, to what end, like what's the point. It answers all these questions. So let's see what purpose is not. Number one, purpose is not determined by the purpose. Like this is the purpose, this is the phone. So purpose now is not determined by the purpose. Amen. For example, you don't ask a phone what purpose is made for. You cannot ask this phone, what's your purpose? Then it'll tell you, I'm made for... I'm sure you will run. Hallelujah. Rather, who you're supposed to ask is the manufacturer, the person that made the phone. Okay, please, you made this phone, all right? What did you really made it for? For what use? Praise the Lord. So, you don't study yourself to determine your purpose. So, a believer does not study himself to determine his purpose. Purpose is not determined. Purpose is discovered. Amen. Purpose is discovered. Amen. That's an error. Please, it shouldn't repeat itself again. Thank you. So, asking yourself what purpose is, or what purpose you are meant for, is wrong. You have a creator. Someone manufactured you. Yes, now. Yes. For you were created in Christ Jesus, all right? Your creation took place in Christ Jesus unto good works. So your master knows the good work he created you for. Amen. So purpose is not determined, like it's discovered. You discover purpose. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, okay, my purpose is to become a medical doctor. That's not purpose. Yes. I know we've read multiple of books, lot of books, and some books like, that thing you alone can't do. Only you can do it. That's your purpose. Let nobody tell you less. That's your purpose. Your purpose. That's not purpose. You know why? You have a manufacturer. You have your creator. You have someone that created you in himself. All right? So he's the one to tell you what purpose you are meant for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So number two is, purpose is not unique. Yeah. Purpose is not unique at all. And I wanted to know that because purpose is not unique, purpose is different from assignment. The thing is, assignment is different from purpose. Most persons, they don't know the difference. Assignment is like a vehicle, alright, that helps you in fulfilling purpose. I can be an evangelist. That might be my assignment. I might be a medical doctor. That might be my assignment. But that's not my purpose. Hallelujah. So now, me being an evangelist is like a vehicle, alright, that will help me in fulfilling purpose. Like the vehicle that will aid my fulfillment of purpose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, purpose is not happiness. That's the third one. Purpose is not happiness. Answers a question. You know, when Jesus, in Matthew 26:42, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, and he was saying, can we have it? Matthew 26:42. Okay, can we read together? It said, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know what? When I was studying, right, I was just imagining Jesus praying this prayer. Because purpose is not happiness. It's like some of us think it's sweetening Jesus' stomach to die. Right now they still feel it's Jesus now, Superman. He was supposed to die. Like, he could just say, no touch me. I know. Do you get it? But no. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. He's God, alright, caged in human body. That man you saw walking the street of Galilee, healing the sick, raising the dead, he was human being. Like, he was human. Like, the same way you are breathing, he was breathing. The same way you can sneeze, he also was sneezing. It's the same. He was just God that was caged in human body. Amen. So it didn't really suit him to die. It was not happiness for him to die. Did you not see his prayer? He said he went again the second time. So it means he prayed this prayer the first time. He went the second time saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So it means God's will is not always sweet. Ah. Okay. So it means the will of God is not always sweet. If I'm not answering. Alright, so I'll ask it again. So it means the will of God is not sweet all the time. No. What is the sweetness in dying? Let's talk about it. There's no sweetness in dying. If there was sweetness in dying, he wouldn't have said this. He said he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. This was not a prayer of happiness. He was not happy. But because he was having you and I in heart, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, whom for the joy that was set before him. So you and I were the joy that was set before him. So when he was dying, though it was paining him, he was just happy because he was seeing me and you in the future. Hallelujah. So purpose is not happiness. It did not sweet Jesus to die. If you, in your mind, you are thinking it was sweet, jolly, it was sweeting him. No. I'm trying to change your mind right now. It nothing sweet him. Wait, what's the sweetness in dying? I'm still asking. Have you ever seen someone that want to die for another person and the person is just smiling? Just kill me. I say, kill me. You just be like, are you serious? Are you fine? Hallelujah. So purpose is not happiness. He did not sweet Jesus to die at all. See his prayer. See it. You know, when I was reading this thing yesterday, I was crying in my heart too. I was like, Lord, it did not sweet him at all. So purpose is not happiness. So God's will for you might not really sweet you. It might not really. It will not sweet you. That is why most of the times you try fighting it. He's like, no, that's not the voice of the devil. That's not the voice of the Lord. No. Ben, no. Purpose is not happiness. I know in those books they will say, anything you do that makes you happy, that is your purpose. Come on. That's your purpose. That's not your purpose at all. Purpose is not happiness. Purpose is not unique. Purpose is not determined. Purpose is discovered. Amen. Amen. Number 4. Purpose is not a career. My purpose is to be an headmistress. My purpose is to, why are you laughing? My purpose is to be a pilot. My purpose is not a career. It's not. Me, after school now, my purpose is I'll be an accountant, general manager. That's not purpose. that can be like an assignment for you. That's not your purpose. Amen. A career can be a vehicle, all right, for purpose, but not purpose itself. You can be good in things that are not purpose. You can be so good. Let me give you an instance. See David. David was a very good shepherd. In fact, he fought all the bear, he fought the lion, all right? Are those things not skills? He was so good at those things. He fought Goliath, the Almighty. Is he Almighty? The big giant. He fought him and he defeated him. Amen. He knew how to play harp. When that guy, King Saul, was possessed by that demonic spirit, they had to call him. They say, hey, there's a guy we know, he plays harp so well. So they called him. So he had so many things he was good in. But those things were not purpose. You know why? Among all of those things, the Bible never referenced any of them except his messianic psalms. The one he prophesied about the coming of Jesus. Those are the only ones that the Bible recorded. No, you don't get it. I'll take it again. See, David was a good hunter. He was a good shepherd. He was good in playing harp. Alright? He was a king. He had skills. He was good. The guy was so good. But with all those things he was good in, none was mentioned in the New Testament. None. Except for his messianic psalms. The psalms he prophesied about the coming of Jesus. Those were the ones that were recorded. So it means nothing makes sense in the sight of God from you except those things that you do that are in line to his will in Christ Jesus. Nothing makes sense. Hallelujah. Amen. So none of the great things David did was referred to. Only the Psalms that spoke about Christ. Amen. So all that counts were his messianic Psalms. So the apostles, in fact, they used the Psalms to preach Christ. In fact, Moses, David's Psalms, all right, the one he wrote, that was what they had as scriptures. That was what the apostles were using to preach. Amen. He was bruised for our transgression. The iniquity of us all was on him. In Isaiah 53. Those are his Psalms. Those are the only things that were recorded. So all the giants, all the things he did in the New Testament, the only one that was recorded, that in fact the apostles had to pick, do topics, do series on, was the one that talked about Christ. So it means no matter how good you are in your skills, in your talents, and whatsoever, alright, if they are not channeling to the purpose of God for you in Christ Jesus, it's a waste before God. It doesn't count. Amen. Hallelujah. So purpose is that one thing for which you were created of, which you must succeed. Otherwise, nothing else is succeeding will count. That one thing you are created to succeed in. That one thing. You are created to succeed in one thing. And if you don't succeed in that one thing, if you succeed in other things, those things will not count. So purpose is that one thing you are created to succeed in. Amen. Hallelujah. So, what is that one thing you want to ask? What is that one thing? Tell us, Matt. Just tell us. What is that one thing? Now, it matters to God that you go to school. Does it? Yes. It matters to God that you have money. Does it? Yes. It matters to God that you live in good health. Does it? Yes. It matters to God that you have a very big mansion. Does it? Yes. No, some people are not answering. No, it seems like you don't like prosperity. Amen. It matters big time to God. It matters. It matters that you be in good health. It matters. Amen. Hallelujah. But all the good health, the good house, the money and everything, if it's not in line with God's purpose for you, it doesn't count before God. It won't. It will never count. It doesn't count. In fact, God doesn't see it. Amen. So, but only your purpose will make all these things count. Now, let's see what purpose is. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's start from verse 3. Okay, can we read together? 3-2, go. He said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Aha. Okay, wait, let's go back to the previous verse. Verse 3. Let's read together. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So, this thing now is what God accepts. What is it? Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? This is purpose. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, your fleet of cars, okay? I thought you'd say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, your fleet of cars, your houses, the money in your account, they will only make sense to God, all right, if you are channeling all those things to the saving of men and their establishment in the knowledge of the truth. That's when it will count. Else, you are as poor as anything in the sight of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, salvation is God's ultimate purpose. Alright? It's God's ultimate priority for mankind. God's ultimate priority. What God wants for men. God doesn't want any man to perish. If, that's why we don't pray, fall and die in this church. Because if you pray for any man to die, that man is going to die. Do you know why? Because of God's anointing on you. But that's not God's will. His will is for all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants a Boko Haramis to be saved. Wow. So Shekau that has been killing people for ages, if you extend the gospel to him and he believes in his heart and receive the life of Jesus, the guy is saved and his past is backdated already. Wow. What a love. So, if a witch has been killing your family and someday mercy caught up with that witch and that witch received Jesus, with all the killings, the witch is having a new slate in the sight of God. What a love. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want any man to perish. See, hell was not even created for man. Hell was created for the devil. So God wants every man to be saved. Every man. A millionaire, a trillionaire, a thousandaire. Everyone, God wants every man to be saved. That's his purpose. You know why? If it was just you, just one person that was on this earth, Jesus would have still come and die. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So God wants men to be saved. This is his purpose. He wants men to be saved. He wants them established in the knowledge of truth. He wants them to know that he is God. He doesn't kill. That's the establishment in the knowledge of the truth. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. So it means there's no definition of God that is outside Jesus. It means you cannot know God outside Jesus. Jesus is the perfect imprint of the Godhead in the bodily form. That Jesus that healed, that Jesus that rose Lazarus, that Jesus that healed the blind, that made the lame man to walk, that Jesus was God. I was telling them yesterday in steward meeting, I told them, do you know if we die right now? Okay, everybody, nobody wants to die now. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? I say, do you know if you sleep right now? Okay, you know what I mean when I say you should sleep. It's the same thing. But let me not call it the death. Let me not say die. You sleep right now and you go to heaven. The person you see on that throne is Jesus. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. They are one. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. One. They are one. The only reason we had Holy Spirit, God, Jesus was it was God for creation purpose. And just because God cannot die, Spirit cannot die. That's like if you are praying for the devil and you are praying, the devil die, Satan die. Spirits don't die. Guy, grab sense. Spirits don't die. This Satan will never die. He's a spirit. See, Jesus comes. So God could not die. Adam sinned. God wanted helping man. There's no way he could help man. Because man have sinned, the relationship between man and God has been destroyed. Man cannot come and tell Satan, guy, see what you did. You made me sin. Now, Satan doesn't like man. From the beginning, he has been fighting man. He will never like you. He's not the one giving you food in your dream. He will not give you food. He's not that good. Satan is not good. He's not good. There's no good thing about Satan. For the thief have come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I come that you might have life. So there's no good thing about Satan. And some people will be begging Satan. There's no good thing about him. He knows his end. Do you remember when Jesus was rebuking that demon out of that mad guy? He was that madman in Gadara. And the demon pleaded. He was saying, Lord, please, our time has not come. So they have a time. Their end is, they have an end. He was saying, our end has not come. Our time has not come. They actually have an end. Satan knows he has an end. Yes, sir. Looking for whom to devour. Whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is a spirit. God cannot die. So in order for him to die, to pay sin for you, he had to become man. That's why we had Jesus. So Jesus is God in the human body. Praise the Lord. I didn't plan to go through that. I just to let you know that this is it. He had to die. And see, in Jesus, man and God met. In Jesus, man and God met. Maybe there was a barrier when man sinned. But now in Jesus, man and God met. So it means there's no barrier between man and God any longer. And this is the message Jesus wants you to take to the world. He wants people to know that he's not a bipolar God that is angry today and happy tomorrow. God does not have mixed profile. A stream of water does not bring out sweetness and bitterness. God cannot be sweet and bitter at the same time. Hallelujah. God wants every man to be saved. This is your purpose. So that thing you are doing, how is it channeling to the salvation of men? Amen. That thing you are doing, how is it channeling to the establishment of those men? All right, in the knowledge of God's word. God wants people to have a unified knowledge about him. Praise God. So everything God did in scripture, beginning from creation, parting of Red Sea, and lots more, it was to achieve salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. So these are some things I want you to know. Whatsoever it is you are doing or acquiring, whatsoever it is your bank account is reading, all right, if it's not about having men saved, then it does not count in God's value system. Whatsoever. Whatsoever. If money comes to your hand and the first thing you think of, guy, all my clothes are old. All my clothes, they are old. I can't wear them again. You don't even think of, okay, so how do I do this thing to reach out to these guys? Okay, so how, because there are sometimes you go for evangelism and you see that some persons are in need. Some persons, their need is actually spiritual, though every need is met spiritually. All right, some persons own is need of finances. Some don't have. But have you ever gone to a very thick village or something to do evangelism, guy? You're going to weep if you see people. So now that you have a lot of money in your bank account, okay. So are you organizing an evangelism team? Okay, so how much will it take us to go there? Let's buy them this. Now, that's the difference between you and people that are doing humanitarian services. Because you have a goal to get them saved. That's your goal. Hallelujah. That's your goal. You're not just giving them rice to go to their houses. We have rice. No, you give them rice and collect their soul. Hallelujah. Amen. You too, you are wise. Abi, you give them rice, they collect noodles, but you are collecting something. Something that they will be grateful to on the last day. Amen. Hallelujah. So money from internal standpoint is valuable if used in supporting salvation of men and the establishment in the knowledge of the truth. So we place value on money based on what we do with it. So as Christians, all right, we ought to engage money in things of eternal value, things that will count. Wait, do you know that you can take money to heaven? Okay. Good. See how? Now, you're making men saved, establishing them in the knowledge of the truth, and you're using your money to support it. All right? Do you know what you're doing? You are saving money for eternity already. Your money will count when you get to heaven. It will count. Because you have eternity in mind. You're not thinking of ephemeral things already alone. You're not thinking of ephemeral things alone. Things that will just die. So it means if you're as wealthy as anything, you can still take your money to heaven. How? Engage yourself in spiritual exercises. Engage yourself in evangelism. Be deliberate about it. If God should open your eyes and see hell, you're going to weep. And God doesn't want any man. He doesn't want any man. He doesn't want any man. No man. He doesn't want any man to go to hell. No man. The will of God for man is to be in Christ Jesus. It's not to go to hell. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Were we blessed? Were we blessed? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word that have come to us. In simplicity and in clarity, we thank you because we are doers of your word and we are blessed indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 85 66. We celebrate you.